I need a volunteer. Who's going to come out the front and be my volunteer? Excellent. James, would you like to come out the front? And I'm going to ask you to stand over here, if you wouldn't mind. And you can face me. Stand over here, actually, just so that the folk over that side can see you. And I want you to put my rucksack on, all right? Excellent. You're going to be standing there for a little while, okay, just to warn you. Can I have my first picture, please, Naomi, up on the screen? Now, who is the person on the left-hand side of the picture supposed to be, do you think? Don't say Charlton Heston. Who is he supposed to be? Yes. Moses, that's right. And what do you think Moses has got in his hands? Yes. The Ten Commandments. And you can see the Ten Commandments written out, can't you, there in English, on the right-hand side. Now, don't put your hand up at this point, but who has broken one of the commandments? Who has broken lots of the commandments? These are God's rules, aren't they? And we've all broken God's rules. In fact, we've all broken God's rules many times and in lots of different places. And when we break God's rules, what do we do? What's the word that I've got written on the back, back of my card here? Come on, Peter, yes. Sin. We sin. Now, where do you think I'm going to put this? In the rucksack. Very good. Will you imagine that this is not card? Will you imagine that it's a heavy brick? All right? Because if we believe in God, and we know what God's rules are, when we sin, it's possible for us, you know, to become very weighed down and burdened by it. We commit lots of sins in life. Remember? You're to imagine that they're heavy bricks. We commit lots of sins in life, and it's very easy for us to be weighed down by sin, by the guilt of sin. Can you pretend for a minute that bag is full of bricks? Excellent. And can you look really stressed and unhappy? Excellent. That's good. You can stand up again. But you get the point, okay? We sin, and it's possible for us to be very weighed down and burdened by our sin. I'll come back to that illustration in just a moment. But I want to begin our story this morning with Jesus standing before this man. Now, who do you think this man in the purple is? Can any of you tell me his name? Yes, Holly. It's Pilate. It's the Roman governor. And yes, Jesus had to stand before Pilate. But you know, Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus. And that's not surprising, really, because Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. But there was a crowd, an angry crowd, that put pressure on Pilate to have Jesus killed. And you know, Pilate sentenced Jesus to death. And so Jesus was led away to be killed. And the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross. And they hung him on that cross. And the Bible tells us that as people passed by, they laughed at him. They mocked him. The Bible also says that at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. That's 3 hours of darkness. And Jesus breathed his last and died. ideas as to who this man might be on the right-hand side? It's a bit more of a tricky question. James. It's not a Pharisee. That's a really good try. But this was a man who was concerned about Jesus and what happened to his body. Any ideas? Come on then, Sue. Not Simon. Do you want to have another go? That's all right. Joseph. That's it. Joseph of Arimathea. He went to Pilate and asked if he could have the body of Jesus. And Pilate said yes. And so Joseph took the body and he buried it. He wrapped it in linen and then buried it in a tomb. And a great big stone was put in front of the entrance of the tomb. Now you can see some soldiers, can't you, in this picture. They came along just a little bit later because, you see, some of the Jews went to Pilate and asked if the tomb could be guarded because they feared that some of Jesus' disciples might come along and steal the body. So Jesus died and was buried. But you know what Jesus did on the cross? I just want to try to illustrate this for a moment. You see, he took the sins of all those who have believed and do believe and will believe upon himself. And he effectively nailed them all to the cross. Now, I'm not sure whether this is going to work, but I brought my hammer with me this morning and a few nails. And I'm going to nail these sins to the cross with my hammer. Let me take the rest of them out. But because it's very complicated to do it with the hammer, I'm going to use my fingers. Can you imagine that they're all on there? Because it will take me a few minutes to do that. All right, so all the sins nailed to the cross. What have we got left in your rucksack over here, James? Absolutely
nothing.
Nothing. Excellent. They're all gone. So would you like to take that rucksack and we'll open this door and you can throw it outside, all right? There's nobody out there, so you're not going to hit anybody. So, whoops. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Give it a good throw out there. Well done. And before you go and sit down, there's something that I would like you to do. Come stand over here with me. All right. Now, I want you to give these people the biggest smile, okay, that you've ever given. Excellent. And would you just do a little... Would you just do a little leap of joy for me as well before you go and sit down? Excellent. Well done. Give him a round of applause. You see, that's a little bit what it's like when we come to believe in Jesus. Because, you see, we come to realize that all our sins are gone. They've been nailed to the cross. And there upon the cross, Jesus has paid the price for them all. The burden has been taken away. The burden has been lifted. There is no more guilt in life. Can you see why Christians are full of joy? Or at least why they should be full of joy? Our sins have gone. Jesus has dealt with them on the cross. What a wonderful story. I've just finished putting all the sins on the cross. I felt the need to do that. You see, all our sins were laid on him. Not just some of them, all of them. Did you read the inside out for Easter? Let me read a verse of a hymn that was quoted before I carry on. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do any of you watch Question of Sport? Some of you do. Do any of you younger ones watch Question of Sport? I think it might be on quite late, which would prevent some of you from doing so. Anyway, on Question of Sport, they have these mystery people, and you have to guess what they are. Well, I've got a few mystery people this morning, and I want you to see if you can guess who they are. There are only three. I think they're fairly straightforward, but all I would say is, older ones, can you just keep quiet, all right, just for a few moments? Lovely, thank you. Right. Now have a look and see if you can tell me who this is. Yes. Yeah, the little girl, yes. It's Prince Harry. Is that what you were going to say? Do you think you're right? Fairly sure? Very good. Okay, let's have the next one. Who's this then, Naomi? Kate. Do you know Kate's Kate who? But you're right though. It is Kate. Yes, James. Kate. She used to be called Kate Middleton, didn't she? I've got her full title down here. Princess Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge. All right, that's who it is. But you're both right, because there she is. I don't know whether the young ones might find this a little bit tricky. I think all the older ones will get it straight away. But this particular man has been on the news a lot recently, which is why I've put his picture up. Yeah, the writing does help. Daniel, who do you think it is? You've forgotten. Did you have it and then it went again? Come on then, Charlotte. Nelson Mandela. Very good. I said I've got three pictures. Actually, I've got four. But the fourth mystery man is part of the story. And as I tell the story, I want those of you who are younger to see if you can guess who the mystery man is. But if you guess who the mystery man is, please don't shout out and say, all right, because that will spoil the story, it will spoil the suspense, all right? Well, on Good Friday, Jesus died and was buried. And on the first day of the week, the Sunday, there were two men walking along a road that led to a village called Emmaus. And they were talking about all that had happened in Jerusalem, the fact that Jesus had died and how that darkness had come over the whole land and so on and so forth. And then someone came up to them. And here he is. And he is the mystery man. Do you have any ideas as to who the mystery man might be? Well, keep it to yourself. But I don't think it could be Jesus, could it? Because, you see, Jesus died and was buried in the tomb. So I wonder who the mystery man might be. Well, the mystery man started talking to them, but they didn't recognize him. The Bible says that they were kept from recognizing him. Well, they got talking. And this man wanted to know what had happened in Jerusalem. I think they were a little bit surprised that he seemed to want to know and didn't know what had happened. Well, they told him what had happened. They told him how that Jesus had died. and how that they had hoped that Jesus would be their Saviour. They also talked as they walked along the road about how the women had gone to the tomb and had found it empty, and how that an angel had appeared and told them that he had risen from the dead. Well, how utterly ridiculous is that? You see, people don't rise again from the dead, do they? Or do they? Well, they kept walking and eventually came to the village. And the two men invited the mystery man in, and he accepted. And they had a meal together. And this mystery man took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them. And you know, at that point, they realized who the mystery man was. And who was the mystery man? Hey, excellent. Come on then, Peter, who was the mystery man? It was Jesus. Yes, he'd died. Yes, he'd been buried. But he had been raised to life again. And this is what they said. Well, actually, I'll say what they said in just a minute. I've jumped ahead of myself in the story. But they recognized it was Jesus. Do you know what happened next in the story, incidentally? What did Jesus do? Yes, James. He disappeared. That's right. He disappeared. And so they got up, and they went to Jerusalem, and they told the disciples what had happened. They said, "It's true. The Lord has risen." And they explained how they had recognized him when he broke the bread. So Jesus died, and he rose again. Now, I asked Peter this question on Friday morning, I think it was. How old are you again, Peter? 5 and a half. How old are you, Daniel? Can you remember? 6 and a quarter. Oh, I see. You wanted to get it just right. Six would have been good enough, but 6 and a quarter is excellent. How old? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to ask you, Charlotte, how old you are? Yeah, because I got into trouble once for asking a lady how old she was, and I don't think she's ever forgotten. May I ask? You're 15. Harry? 12? I won't ask you all this morning, but can you prove it? Can you prove to me how old you are? How do I know, Peter, that you're not really 8? How do I know that Charlotte is not really 13? I'm 40, but how do you really know? How would you prove to me how old you are? What could you do to prove to me how old you are? You could show me your birth certificate. And look, here is my birth certificate. And it will tell you that I was born on the 18th of July, 1972. All right? I'm married. And I'm married to that lady sitting in the pink over there. And her name is Joanne. But how can you be sure that I'm married to Joanne? How can I prove it to you? Yes, James. I've got a ring on. And if I can get it off, yes, what were you going to say? I'll come to that in just a minute, but yes, you're right, and it's nearly there. There we go. Of course, it could just be any ring, couldn't it? But actually, if you look at this ring on the inside, it says Mark Joanne 10-10-98. You can pass that round, but don't lose it, will you? Because otherwise I shall get into trouble. But I could also prove to you that I'm married by showing you these photos. Can you see? Can you see us getting married in that picture? You see? And there are lots of people there, and I suppose I could ring up a lot of these people and say, why don't you come down to Crocken Hill? And they would all testify to the fact that I'm married to Joanne. And if that wasn't enough, the marriage certificate. Can you see that? Thank you very much. The marriage certificate. There is all the proof that you need. Let me ask a question. How do we know that Jesus' death on the cross was really good enough to take away our sins? Jesus, when he was on the cross, uttered these words, "It is finished." In other words, the work that the Father has given me to do has been done. But how do we know that the job was in fact done? And that the price for our sins had been paid in full? Well, let me give you the answer to such questions. The proof is in the resurrection of Jesus. You see, by raising Jesus from the dead, God the Father was in effect saying, I accept the sacrifice of my son. There's nothing more to be paid. My son has paid the price for the sins of his people in full. And there's no longer any reason, therefore, for my son to remain dead and in the grave. The resurrection is the proof that our sins have indeed been dealt with on the cross. So the cross is good news, but the resurrection is also good news. Can you see how that they're both really good news and how that both are necessary? I want to simply conclude at this point by asking you all a question. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you? I'm not asking you whether you believe about these things or whether you believe that they actually happened. I'm asking you whether you really trust in Jesus as your Saviour. Do you believe that he died on the cross to take away your sin? The question, isn't it? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Do you believe that he died and rose again for you? You know, I know a lady who is now in her 50s, but she became a Christian when she was age what, do you think? 4 years old. You see, you're never too young to become a Christian. Actually, you're never too old to become a Christian. At the age of four, she realized that she was a sinner. I think that even at the age of four, she felt weighed down by the burden of her sin. And so one day, she simply said to God that she was sorry for her sin and she trusted in Jesus and came to believe that Jesus had died for her sin upon the cross. And she knew that the work that Jesus had done was good enough. Why? Because he rose again from the dead. Is the message this morning complicated? It's not complicated, is it? It's a simple message. A message that even children can understand. But it's the most important message in the whole wide world. And whoever we are, it's so important that we come to believe it. It's so important that we come to trust in Jesus Christ for ourselves. And if we haven't already done that, I hope and pray that we will come to do that. Thank you for listening this morning. What a wonderful story it is that we have to tell. Before we sing our final hymn, shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this lovely story that we get to tell, not just at Easter, but throughout the year. Lord, many of us here this morning have come to believe. We believe that Jesus died for us upon the cross and rose again victoriously on the third day. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to go to the cross. Thank you for being willing to suffer and die in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How can we ever thank you enough? Lord, I would pray that the eyes of all this morning would be opened in order that we might see the wonder and the beauty of these glorious truths that we have considered together. Oh Lord, we plead that this might happen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.